We turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 21, which can be found on page 811 of the majority of the Pew Bibles. Last week we heard that Jesus cleared the marketplace that had corrupted the temple of God. And now John tells us of an encounter between one of the religious leaders and Jesus. John 3, reading from verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with us." Sorry, with you. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I wonder how good your memory is. What's the first thing that you can remember in your life? Well, obviously you can't remember anything. Perhaps your first day at school. Your first trip to the seaside. Perhaps a Christmas morning. Or that moment when you first learned to ride a bicycle. But I seriously doubt if any of you can remember the first moment you drew breath as you were born into this world. It is, without doubt, the single most dramatic moment in all our lives. The moment we left the protection and warmth of our mother's womb. The moment we first filled our lungs with air and breathed on our own. And yet, none of us remembers it.
or anything about the months before. In today's passage from the Gospel according to John, we hear about a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, a Pharisee, who goes to meet Jesus and is told that he needs to be born again if he wants to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council. That means he was a man of dignity, educated, successful, respected, trusted, and held in high regard within the community. More than that, unlike the other Pharisees who conspired against Jesus, Nicodemus was drawn to Jesus. He wanted to learn from Jesus, and he came to him looking for answers. Now, Nicodemus already had some very positive conclusions about Jesus. He believed Jesus had come from God and that God was with him, evidenced by the miracles he performed. And most of us are like that. We know who Jesus is, where he came from, and what he did. But before Nicodemus can get to his questions, Jesus interrupts him. I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Nicodemus is stopped dead in his tracks. This is an extraordinary statement that Jesus makes. And it applies not just to Nicodemus, but to every person who has ever lived. We must be born again if we want to see the joys of heaven. Being born again is not transformation, rather it is regeneration. Transformation is like putting on a new coat to change the outward appearance. Regeneration requires a change within, a change at the very core of our being. Imagine if you spend your whole life building a house. You build it from the foundation up. Every nail, every screw, you go for quality in everything you choose. Fixtures, fittings, and all the accessories. Everything in that house is a reflection of you and your commitment to excellence. A house is your pride and joy. It reflects your craftsmanship, your values, and your style. It is the fruit of your labor over many years as you have continued to make improvements, incorporating new ideas. When one day you meet a master builder, you've read about his work in magazines, and so you invite him to come over and look at your house. You want to know if there is anything that he would do different, perhaps change some fittings, maybe remove an interior wall. What could he suggest that would make your house even better? And he comes in and he's very quiet. He looks around and he shakes his head and says, "This will all need to come down." Jesus offers a new life, not a better one. That's what's happening here for this highly successful man who is trusted and respected in society. Jesus says to him, "You come to me thinking that I can add something that is missing in your successful life. But I tell you that your whole life needs to be made again, lived again. You must be born again." Many of us are like Nicodemus. Good education, solid achievements, healthy relationships, sound work ethics, respected in society. And still we want to improve ourselves. So if someone says, "There's a God-shaped hole in our lives and only Jesus Christ can fill it," that makes sense to us. Because there's always more to life. And we acknowledge that our lives are not perfect. We have faults, things that we need God to forgive. So a message that says we need Christ to make us complete makes sense to us. It appeals to our sense of reason. Let Christ fill the God-shaped hole in our lives. But that is not what Jesus says here. Christ does not say, Nicodemus, you're doing all right, but there's something missing that I can give you. Instead, he says, your whole life needs to be remade and relived. You must be born again. And unless that happens, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus thinking he was somewhere close to God's kingdom. But Jesus told him he was nowhere near it. Last week we said that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. And you may have heard this passage many times in the past and wondered why Jesus chose this man to deliver this message to. If Jesus had delivered this message to the thief on the cross beside him, a criminal who had wasted his life, no one would have been surprised. No one would be surprised if Jesus said to the prostitutes or the corrupt tax collectors that they needed to be reborn. But Jesus did not say it to them. He said it to Nicodemus, mankind at its best, ethical, successful and educated. And Jesus says the same thing today to people who are trusted, respected, successful, moral, family men and women. People like you and I who go to church and call themselves Christians. Jesus says, you must be born again. Unless you are, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you consider yourself to be a Christian, but not a born-again Christian, then the change that needs to happen in your life is more radical than you can imagine. It's more than Nicodemus could imagine. And he replies to Jesus, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Imagine going up to your mother saying, Mom, I'm going back in. I'm not coming out till I find Jesus. Nicodemus is a mature man. Youngsters didn't get on the Jewish ruling council in asking, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus gives away his life stage. For most people, as you get older, the shape of your life begins to set. The cement hardens. Over time, you come to terms with who you are. How can a man or a woman in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s be born again? How can the very core identity of someone's life change? Years have been and gone. You cannot get them back. Your life is what it is. How can a person be born again when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be reborn. On the 21st of April this year, Queen Elizabeth II celebrates her 94th birthday. But she also has another birthday. The second Saturday of June is the monarch's official birthday, a celebration tradition that has been in place now for 272 years. It began when King George II wanted a big birthday party, but felt that the middle of winter when he was actually born was not the best time of year to have it. So he instigated the summer celebration instead. In this country, the sovereign, the king or queen, has two birthdays. Our Saviour, Jesus, the King of Kings, also has two birthdays. The day he was born. We don't know exactly what day of the year Jesus was born on, but it's very unlikely to have been in the middle of winter, as the sheep and the shepherds that the angels appeared to would not have been out in the fields at that time of year. His official birthday is, of course, the 25th of December. So Jesus, our sovereign Lord, has two birthdays. When Nicodemus asks Jesus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answers saying, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. If you ask the same question of Jesus and received the same answer, I'm sure you would have been more confused than Nicodemus was at the Lord's reply. Some people think Jesus is saying that in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must have both a natural birth, the breaking of your mother's waters, and a spiritual birth. But since every living person has a natural birth, why not just say, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the Holy Spirit? Other people think that Jesus is referring to baptism. Baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. The problem with that is that baptism reflects the new birth. It does not bring the new birth. Making entrance into Christ's kingdom conditional on baptism would be out of line with the teachings of the New Testament. When Jesus says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit, Nicodemus would have known that Jesus was referring to the twin blessings of the gospel that we find throughout the Bible, a new cleansing and a new creation. Nicodemus, being a ruling Pharisee, would have known the words from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 36, where the Lord promises, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. It's more than washing. It's more than a second chance. It's a cleansing and a new creation. It's forgiveness and new life. It's justification and regeneration. It's the past wiped clean and forgotten, just like the moment you were first born into this world, free from the womb. So you are born again in the Spirit, free from your sinful past. And no longer do you have just one birthday. You now have two. For in the eyes of God, when you took Jesus as your Savior, when you invited him into your heart, no longer are you clothed in your sinfulness. For in the eyes of God, you're now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Adopted into his family, you become an heir of his promises. A descendant of the King of Kings, you become royalty. And royalty, as we know, has two birthdays. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. And I'm sure that there will be some here this morning asking the same question. How do you become born again? Jesus replies, you are a respected Jewish teacher and you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and we have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? If you want to be born again in the Spirit, then you have to believe in Jesus. You cannot hope to know about heavenly things if you do not believe in the one who came down from there to be with us. You have to believe, because your eternal soul depends upon it. For God gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Christ Jesus came down from heaven, the only one to do so, to walk as one of us. And we hear the stories in the Bible of his life and what he did. We hear the witness accounts. We hear the testimony of the saints. Testimony that has stood the test of time. And yet there's times when we want more. We want more proof. We want it for ourselves. And yet we believe history and every other thing. And yet sometimes something stops us believing within ourselves. But you, Lord, have shown us all we need to know. And now you leave it up to us to choose. To believe in you or to not believe in you. Lord, give us hearts that are open to your influence, open to your vision, that we might see you all around us, see your miracles that happen day after day. And in so doing, may we come to believe with our hearts, minds, and souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.